Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Okay, time now to get some recommendations about what's new on TV and in cinemas. And we're joined on the line, I think, by Donal Clark, film correspondent for the Irish Times, and Dublin International Film Festival director Gráinne Humphreys is here with me in the studio. Welcome, guys.
Hey, hey.
Hello.
So you're both just back from the Venice Film Festival. Donald, you're in quarantine after it, clearly. We'll start with you. The Brutalist and Nicole Kidman's Baby Girl were the ones attracting the most attention, I think. What were your standouts at Venice?
Is that for me? Sorry, Brendan?
Yes.
Okay. The Brutalist is terrific. This is a new film by Brady Corbett, who made two very eccentric films, The Childhood of a Leader and Vox Lux a few years back. I mean, I thought it was terrific. It's 3.5 hours about an architect from Hungary, who played by Adrian Brody, who after the war ends up in the United States and gets sucked into the clutches of oligarch played by Guy Pearce, and ends up constructing this mad project in the middle of Pennsylvania. And you felt watching it, there's a whole crowd of people out there in the cine amongst cineasts who are crying out for a film shot on film that lasts 3.5 hours, has a look of something from the early 1970s that could have been a couple of them, and this is kind of it.
Great.
And I was impressed by how well it went down. I thought it more divisive than it was, but actually I think more or less everyone loved it. So okay. Not coming our way till January, but keep an eye up for that.
Okay, Gráinne, Peacock sounds great.
Oh, Peacock's hilarious. It's a genuinely very funny film about an Austrian comedy drama set about a guy whose job is to be a professional friend. So he turns up, for instance, to be the perfect father at a parent-teacher meeting. He turns up to be the perfect son at a very ambitious businessman's kind of 60th birthday. So he's a professional, perfect sibling, friend, you know, etc. And it's wonderful. And he, you know, suddenly falls out of love with this particular lifestyle. And then suddenly what happens when you're not being perfect?
I love it. That sounds great. OK, why don't we move on to cinemas now? So, Donald, Speak No Evil, which is a horror remake, I think, of a foreign film. Sounds good.
It's great. I remember when I emerged from the press show, I met one Gráinne Humphreys in the foyer. And she was saying, what's it like? I said, oh, well, it's really good. But, you know, people are going to be whining. They're going to be saying, like, oh, you must go and see the original Danish film. And I think you said, yeah, people like you mean. Which I think was quite a good comment about how critics always approach these things. They've all got a first paragraph in pointing out that you've seen Christian Taftrup's original. But the original is great. It's on Shudder. You can go and watch it.
Move on. Come on.
We're on. The remake is at least as good. Quick scenario. Two couples meet on their European holidays. They agree to meet up when they get back home. One couple is James McAvoy and her own Aisling Franciosa. The other is American couple is Mackenzie Davis and Scoot McNairy. And it transpires that McAvoy and Franciosa are sinister. What I love about this is the first hour and 20 minutes are all social discomfort. That it is the American couple being really uneasy by an awful going. And in fact, I would argue that that's far more shocking and far more unnerving than the violence that, this is hardly a spoiler, given the nature of the film, the violence that comes at the end. It's, as a black social comedy, it's just terrific. And James McAvoy is great.
Okay, that's Speak No Evil, and that's in cinemas now. Speaking of critics, Gráinne, there's a film called The Critic starring Ian McKellen. It was a bit close to the bone. Did it make you feel like a bitter person sitting on the sidelines of life criticising other people's work?
I don't know if I'm going to call myself a programmer and jump out of this particular dynamic.
You're a celebrator of people's work.
I'm a celebrator, yeah. I mean, I think the thing about this is it just feels terribly old-fashioned and terribly, as it was, conventional. Mm. I mean, to my mind, and we were talking about TV shows that people have forgotten, this could have been a brilliant Tales of the Unexpected. This could have been an hour. This didn't need to be a feature film. Yes, it's Ian McKellen. Yes, he can still act. Gemma Atherton, Mark Strong. It's got a great cast. The trouble is, it's about a theatre critic who, you know, is obnoxious and wily and sort of fashions a blackmail plot to keep his job. So in a way, you know, it is very much like a short story, but it's written by Patrick Marber, who did Closer, who's very familiar with theatre. But it's quite dull. And I would say near the end, it actually goes off the rails.
OK, critic slams critic, the critic in cinemas now for actual punters who pay to see their
civilians,
movies.
Civilians,
I beg your pardon. OK, let's do a bit of TV. Donald, you're going to keep putting Ken Bruce's Popmaster TV on the list until I let you talk about it. So let's just do
That's
it today.
Worked. Exactly, yeah. If I'm still above ground in 20 years and you haven't given in, I'd be ranting about Popmaster TV. Yeah, it's an incredibly simple, uncomplicated quiz show that's on Channel 4, a current series running Friday at 8 p.m. and you can watch the two whole series on the Channel 4 Watch Again thing. It began about a quarter of a century ago on Ken Bruce's radio show, and then it's now translated over to television in recent years. I can't watch quiz shows when everyone's an idiot. I just get too angry. People who think that J.K. Rowling wrote Jude the Obscure or whatever, I just end up yelling at the television. What's great about this is it is just what it says it is. It's a pop quiz. It is members of the public, three or four of them. What I think is delightful about it is you have these people of all ages who have this incredible breadth of knowledge. So you have people who are in their 20s who can recognise Charlie Drake novelty records from the 1950s. And you have people of my sort of age who seem to be completely clued up on the latest grime records. And I find it really admirable to watch that in action. But it's really, it's absolutely basic. It's good old Ken sitting at a desk, four people in front of him, bunch of pop questions, and it's really enjoyable if you are into quizzes and if you are a pop bore, and I am both of those things.
So much effort goes into finding new formats and everything else like that, but just like Man Does Pop Quiz, Channel 4,
exactly,
Friday,
yeah,
8 p.m, Popmaster TV. Grania, there's a new documentary about dyslexia on RT1 and on the RT Player on Wednesday called Lost for Words.
It's fantastic.
Yeah?
It's absolutely fantastic. I was lucky enough to see first ever episode, and they're just wonderful kids, grown up, a wonderful kind of broad kind of range of people who have been living with dyslexia as parents, as children, as professionals, and structuring their lives. And it just talks to a really engaging group of people talking about something fantastic. Doctors, teachers, the Cathar Macaulay National School, the staff there. And I just really loved the approach, the way in which everybody spoke about it and how they managed
their lives around
constructed their lives around it and moved forward.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Really, really beautifully made.
Okay, that's Lost for Words, and that's on RT1 on Wednesday and on the RT Player. Trump's heist, the president who wouldn't lose, is on Channel 4 on Tuesday at 9.
Yeah, I might point out that Donald Trump has really destroyed the reputation of my name, which up until quite recently, if I was sort of spelling my name for somebody who thought I was Donald, I'd say, Donald, like Donald Duck, or, Donald Sutherland. No, unfortunately, Trump is always Donald bloody Trump. He's ruined it for Donalds everywhere. This sounds unmissable. I mean, it couldn't be better timed, obviously. We're currently in the middle, I don't need to tell anybody this listens to this show, of the closest US election, probably in living memory. Last week, Kamala Harris duffed up Trump something rotten, but they're still left with a tied race. So it looks as if the one thing we can guarantee is the election will be close, and that thus the loser, certainly if it's Trump, will contest the result. So this two-part documentary on his last effort to rob the election, if I may put it that way, is very well positioned. Sounds as if they've got a good cast, loads of informants. They've got former Trump supporters, including his attorney general. They've got Mike Pence's chief of staff. All the people who know what's going on. It's extraordinary how many people who were former Trump insiders end up on documentaries telling us what a monster he was. But that's over two nights starting on Tuesday, so that sounds essential.
Okay, Trump's heist, the president who wouldn't leave, and that's on Channel 4, 9 on Tuesday. Okay, a couple of quick things before we finish up. Grania, briefly, do I want to watch a new docudrama about Mozart on BBC Two tomorrow night?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It's great fun. My favourite kind of note about it was apparently when he was being tested when he was 8 in London by the Royal Society, who could not believe that there was anyone as talented as that. He played like a dream and then got distracted by the cat and wandered off, and apparently they couldn't get him back to the piano. It's wonderful. It's really engaging.
Right. Okay.
It's not remaking Amadeus. It's got Stephen Fry. It's got Curtis Addison, Richard E. Grant, but it's got loads of wonderful conductors talking about him as an artist.
Mozart, great. Rise of a Genius, BBC Two, tomorrow night at 9 p.m. And Donald, you want to mention an animation animation classic that's coming to Netflix tomorrow, I think, Grave of the Fireflies.
Yes, they've really got a great selection of from the great Japanese animation Studio Ghibli on Netflix, and now they've finally added Asu Takahata's Grave of the Fireflies, which is one of the saddest films ever made and one of the greatest anti-war films ever made. If you haven't seen it, don't miss it.
Really? Okay, Grave of the Fireflies, Netflix tomorrow. Gráinne, before we go, do you want to tell us about Be Kind Rewind?
Absolutely. I'd love to. I love my job. I'm 50 white middle class. We need different kinds of programmers in this world. So we spent the last 2 months bringing a group of young people together to learn how to program. And there's a brilliant festival called Be Kind Rewind. It'll be at the end of the month, 27th, 28th, 29th, I think, in the Lighthouse.
That's a nice
They're going to present their films, the films okay. they picked.
When you say program, they pick the films.
They picked the films.
I do it every night at home.
That's
God's
what
sake.
We all do, programming. Brendan. We all do.
Who knew? We're all programmers.
Do you remember what Be Kind Rewind was?
Be Kind Rewind, no.
Yeah, it's the phrase we all used about VHSs. Do you remember Be Kind Rewind? Oh, yeah, the next person.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Donald Clark and Gráinne Humphrey.